Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 2 and 5, the righteous judgment of the Most High, who will render unto every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience continue in some well-doing seek for glory and honor and immorality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath.
Oh, Great
Lucas. You an African-American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' say it?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yep.
Yeah.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Never gonna win.
Nope.
Trying to make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sinning.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trying? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path to save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yep.
All right. We know what it is.
All right. You're going to learn today.
You say what, Kevin?
All right. You're going to learn today.
Back to the 12 tribes worldwide. What are we going to do?
All right. You're going to learn today.
All right. We're going to learn today. Let's give an applause to the Most High in Christ, to Yahweh Bahashem, Yahweh Shai, to the 12 tribes worldwide. Yahweh, thank you for giving us your son, Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of the nation of Israel, that we might be able to repent, develop a conscience and repent, and be able to come back to your grace, to your glory. Let's give him a Most High hand. All right. My name is Mashaba. I am one of the teachers here with the ISBHPK. The ISBHPK Bible Talk Podcast. Let me go ahead and make sure I can get that little shout-out out there. Welcome. ISBHPK is a network of schools dedicated to teaching and awakening the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, the so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, and so-called Mexicans, scattered throughout North, Central, and South America, here on the, in the Western Hemisphere, that we are descendants of the original 12 lost tribes, or the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, that we are the descendants by blood, by of the family tree of the same people that Moses led out of the oppression, out of the slavery that the Israelites were under the Egyptian Empire, and actually walked through the Red Sea in our liberation and seeing the destruction and the downfall of the empire known as Egypt, that we are descendants of those people, and that because of our sins against the Lord God Almighty, the God of heaven, the creator, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, that part of the curses and punishments that we had to forego is being scattered to the four corners of the earth and losing our identity, losing our nationality, and being labeled different terms because of our sins and continual breaking of God's commandments, which is sin, according to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. So again, we are the network of schools here in North America called the ISBHPK. The ISBHPK stands for the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. That, yes, this is the Israelite School. We do have school locations, and that we do teach biblical history and practical knowledge, that the Bible has wisdom and has knowledge that can be applied, that the Bible has knowledge that you can use in your everyday life that works. All right. The first school I'd like to bring up is our school here in San Antonio. And the school here in San Antonio, being a part of the ISBHPK network of schools, is also known as the Sword of Truth. All right. It's also known as the Sword of Truth, which is located at 4444 Walsum, San Antonio, Texas, 78218, being the address there. The brother to contact there, who's in charge of the school there, is the brother of War. And if you'd like to, any information, would like to contact him, you can reach him at area code 210-862-2643. All right, that's the brother of War, who is over the Sport of Truth here in San Antonio, Texas. You can also reach out to the brother Shamshuan, area code 505-387-9609. For the school location here in San Antonio, classes are held every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And again on Saturday, starting at 10 a.m., where they have the Sabbath service and the Sabbath readings. If you're in the San Antonio area, please check them out. If you're not in the San Antonio area, they have a YouTube channel, which is located at ISBHPK San Antonio, ISBHPK San Antonio. And they do live streams every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And then the Sabbath ceremony is also live streamed on YouTube, ISBHPK San Antonio. Starting at 10 a.m. on Friday nights, they have a live feed that they do with their brother Kawa Cobb, who is located in Antigua, Guatemala, who does a live feed on Fridays, starting at 7 p.m. also. You can check them out. The brother's been a truth for 35 years, 34 years, 36 years. Excellent teacher, great understanding, great counselor. You can reach out. You can also reach Color Cobb on Facebook if you choose to. You can also reach Color Cobb on Facebook under Color Cobb Amat. If you'd like to talk to him or reach out to him, have a question for him, that's one way you get in contact with him. Our next school location is in Houston, ISBHPK Houston, which is located at 231 FM 1092. All right, 231 FM 1092 in Stafford, Texas. Zip code 77477. The brother to contact there, who's the steward of the school there in Houston, is Priest Quatazap. And you can reach him at area code 303-557-8973. 1-800-875-5979. The school in Houston has classes, and you can also watch them on YouTube at ISBHBK Houston, Mondays and Wednesdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., again, 10% of the time, and then again on Fridays from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then you can catch them on Saturdays for their Sabbath service, Sabbath ceremony, also starting at 10 a.m. Well, I need to check. I have a check. I need to check it out again. Starting at it might be 12. I believe they also do street evangelizing before the Sabbath ceremony, because sometimes the Sabbath ceremony, the reading of the Torah and the histories and everything, it can be very extensive. And the brothers want to make sure that they still have time to get out and do some street evangelizing and doing the Lord's work on the Sabbath. So I believe it's Saturday at 10 a.m., but they might have adjusted to 12 a.m. like Norfolk did. But please check them out. For our school locations for Houston, also Norfolk, and also Rochester, please go to the latest information. Go to isbhpk.com. Please log on to the website, isbhpk.com, where there you will find links to the various businesses that have been established to help fund the schools and the teaching that's taking place, the YouTube channels, and keep brothers employed, families employed, to help push this work and help bring the nation of Israel together, like Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 1 says. At isbhpk.com, you'll find links to Sweet Ambiance. You'll find links to Chosen Creations, and you also find links to Israelware. Sweet Ambiance, Chosen Creations, and Israelware. Israelware is if you want to keep up with the latest in Hebrew fashions. If you just want to get your if you want to keep Isaiah chapter 52 verse 1 in mind, where it says, "Awake, awake, put on that beautiful garments, O Zion." And you need help with your garment game, but whether you're a man, woman, or child, check out Israelware at isbhpk.com or on Facebook, Israelware, all one word. And you can get your for men, again, men, women, and children, from t-shirts to tunics to dresses to crowns to girdles to robes. If you have an idea that you want to get done or you just want to get your Hebrew game up as we're coming to the summertime, like I know here in San Antonio right now it's only like 70 degrees, but it's been hitting 86s, 87s. That the temperature is definitely rising. Summer is definitely here. And if you can get a subscription to Israelware, your monthly subscription, and with your monthly subscription, you can get a new T-shirt with fringes and the school logo and your tribe or different designs once a month, according to your subscription, to keep your fringe game up and let people know that you are a Hebrew. Let people know you're an Israelite. And that's the way that you can support the schools and keeping the schools going and get somebody for yourself to help your game and your fashion statements stand out a little bit more. So please check out isbhpk.com for Israelware, Chosen Creations, and Sweet Ambiance. To support the school here in San Antonio, we ask that you check out Eastern Fragrances. They're on Facebook and Instagram, Eastern Fragrances on Facebook and Instagram. And you can visit them at Rolling Oaks Mall, located here in San Antonio. They're on the first floor between the American Cookie Company and the elevator, if you're familiar with Rolling Oaks Mall. They're about the third kiosk in, almost right in the middle of between the American Cookie Company and the elevator, Eastern Fragrances, where they sell the latest in cologne, perfume oils, and the most beautiful Egyptian decanters to get your oil out, along with Egyptian burners and oil burners, to set the ambiance for your home, for your car, for your body, for your mind, body, and soul. Check out Eastern Fragrances, again, located at Rolling Oaks Mall on the first floor between the American Cookie Company and the elevator. And they can custom design you a fragrance for the, again, for the body, or for the home, or for a car, or what have you. For men, women, or children, they can take care of you, of your needs. Please check them out. And that will help, that goes directly to help support the school here in San Antonio, as Eastern Fragrances. Also on Facebook, to help support the school in San Antonio. I know I'm jumping you off. Forgive me. I'm trying to get my flow together. They have a movie company here in San Antonio called On the Mark Move. You can reach out to the Brother Samshawan, the seven appointments to give an estimate on whatever moving needs you might need done, that they can take care of it. License, insurance, and bonded. No job's too big, no job's too small. They will literally move. If you need stuff moved from your attic down into your garage or from your garage to the attic, call On the Mark Move. They can take care of you. You need something moved from your garage to storage to your garage. You need an apartment moved. You need a one-bedroom apartment moved. You need a studio moved. You need a house moved. You need a business moved. No job's too big, no job's too small. Reach out to the brothers at On the Mark Move, and proceeds from there go directly to help us support the keeping the school running here in San Antonio, as well as providing employment, occupation for several families that have dedicated themselves to wanting to be Israel 24/7. When I say Israel, meaning that this is a way for them to stay around the school constantly, but also provide work for themselves to be able to feed their families. So please check out On the Mark Move on Facebook, or you can go to the kiosk, Eastern Fragrances in Rolling Gold Mall, located on the first floor between the American Cooking Company and the elevator. And you can make an appointment, and they'll make sure, get you in touch with the right people to be able to take care of your needs. All right? So then we have San Antonio, we have Houston. And again, Houston is 231 FM 1092, Stafford, Texas, 77477. Pre-squat the Zop is the man of contact there. Area code 303-557-8979. They have classes you can watch on YouTube, Mondays and Wednesdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Fridays from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and then Saturdays at 10 a.m. We also have our school in Norfolk, Virginia. We have a school in Norfolk, Virginia, located at 2610 Granby Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23517. Now, excuse me. Some of the breaks and murders are getting to my throat. 2610 Granby Street is also a location for Sweet Ambiance. Sweet Ambiance. Not only can you locate them on the website, isbhbk.com, but Sweet Ambiance, we have kiosks in Norfolk, in Houston, and in Rochester, where you can get the most decadent, I'm going to use that word, decadent, handmade soaps, bath bombs, lotions, beard oils, essential oils, perfume oils, cologne oils, or oils for certain incense oils for, again, setting the ambiance within the house, within the car, with the mind, body, and soul, everything comes together. Sweet Ambiance is also located at 2610 Granby Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23517. We ask that you visit them and get in patronage. The brother of contact in Norfolk that's over the school there in Norfolk is Priest Kazakia. His phone number is 757-300-4047. That's Priest Kazakia again, 757-300-4047. For our school in Norfolk, they also have a YouTube channel, ISBHBK Norfolk, and you can visit the school Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And again on Saturday starting at 12 noon, all right, for our school there in Norfolk. And then we have our school in Rochester. Our school in Rochester is located at 1600 Lyle Avenue, Suite 1A, Rochester, New York, 14606, being the zip code there. The brother of contact and the steward of the school in Rochester is Priest Zion. Dynamic, fantastic, brother full of zeal, knowledge, and understanding. You can reach him at area code 757-762-3917. The class schedule in Rochester is Tuesdays and Thursdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., and again on Saturdays at 10 a.m. There in Rochester, New York. So if you're in the New York area, Rochester, New York area, we have a school there. Please check them out. do yourself that favor. And then last but certainly not least, for those in Albuquerque, we have the brother Aisha White Dazar. The brother Aisha White Dazar, who's been holding it down since 1992 up there in Albuquerque. You can reach out to him, area code 505-218-4218. And if you have any questions or like to congregate with them in Albuquerque, please reach out to the brother Aisha White Dazar. Again, located at you can call him, area code 505-218-4218. Cool. I got to make this announcement. We know that coming up Sunday, May 14th, 2023, which is the second Passover, that unfortunately, brothers and sisters, I don't know if I say it's unfortunate or fortunate, but the venue has been sold out. That the RSVP notification that came in, there's already too many people booked for capacity of the ballroom, of the lounge that's being rented. That it was no idea that so many people wanted to show up, were going to show up for the second Passover. This is the first time that we've done this in about three decades, actually holding the second Passover. So unfortunately, the RSVP has been shut down. That according to the RSVPs that already been turned in and submitted, that it's already at capacity and they can't fit no more in, and there's a strict fire code and that going over capacity. So unfortunately, the second Passover, the congregation that we're going to have Sunday, May 14th, that RSVPs have been shut down. But you can still observe. If you didn't observe Passover on April 5th, you can still here's your opportunity to observe Passover Sunday, May 14th, 2023. And then the other announcement I need to announce is the wedding, the exchanging of vows between Brother Aria Shalamath and his wife, Kalaya. There will be a wedding ceremony on Sunday, May 21st, at the EO Pure Therapy Event Center, located at 6909 Loop 1604 East, San Antonio, Texas, 78247, otherwise known as Rolling Oaks Mall. All right, that's going to be Sunday, May 21st, 2023. Each and every call to all Israelites. I need to get like that every time and horn. Shout out to all Israelites to please join Ariah and Kaliah for their wedding ceremony, their wedding feast on Sunday, May 21st, 2023, located at Rolling Oaks Mall at the EO Pure Therapy Event Center. The EO Pure Therapy Event Center, again, as you hear the word EO Pure Therapy, is sponsored and paid for by EO Pure Therapy, which is also located at Rolling Oaks Mall on the first floor of the JCPenney Wing, directly diagonal from H&M Clothing Store. EO Pure Therapy, where you can get the latest in your holistic healing remedies, if you have, I say it like that you can get your custom handmade bath bombs and bath salts, your custom handmade lotions, your custom handmade soaps, your custom handmade candles. You also get your custom. You can also get your CMOS. You can also get your incense. You can also get your decanters. That it's something you got to check out. It's something you got to see. And proceeds from EO Pure Therapy also go to help fund the EO Pure Therapy Event Center. The Event Center is located, again, at Rolling Oaks Mall on the second floor of the Sears Wing, what used to be the Sears Wing, right in front of the radio-controlled racetrack, radio-controlled cars racetrack, located upstairs of the what was the Sears Wing of Rolling Oaks Mall. Yeah, the EO Pure Therapy Event Center. We ask for your support to help keep the event center going. It's really a blessing, and it is an event center that not only are we having Ariel's wedding there on Sunday, May 21st, starting at 1 o'clock, but we also have every Sunday we do a Paleo-Hebrew Soldiers class, a Paleo-Hebrew Soldiers class every Sunday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the EO Pure Therapy Event Center. So we ask that you please support EO Pure Therapy store Again, everything there located at Roman Go Small. Show your support. You can help donate and help keep the event center here in San Antonio going for Hebrew Israelite events. All right. And getting to the prayer request. All right, getting to the prayer request. One thing I am adding to my introduction list is wanting to get in the prayer requests that I receive of putting people on prayers. And it does say that the prayer of the righteous availeth much. That we are eyewitnesses to this. That we have seen anywhere from infants that were in the NICU, in the infant emergency room. I don't know why my words are stumbling right now, just kind of getting choked up. But thinking about that from the prayers of Israel, so us coming together and praying for the sick, us coming together and praying for one another, we have seen people recover from near death. All right, they was knocking at heaven's door, and that prayer requests do work. That when we come together and pray, when the righteous pray, we come together and pray that it does work. We're unifying. So I'd like to the first prayer request for the brother Tahawamba Waradaya and for their family. Without getting into specifics about anything, but just please in your prayers, please add the brother Tahawam and his wife Waradaya and their family as they are going through some medical crises right now. And that their charity and their work, it stands out. Their charity and their work, it really does stand out. So we're asking that you please add Tahawam and Waradaya to your prayer request and their family, as they're definitely going through some health episodes at this particular time. We ask that you also put on your prayer request to the Most High, the brother John Spann, right? The brother John Spann. And the entire Coates family, that you might add them to your prayer request, that the Most High might strengthen their spirits and help them overcome and endure some of the afflictions and things that they're being hit with at this particular time. Again, that's John Spann and the entire Coates family, as they're definitely dealing with some health issues at this time also, that the Most High will strengthen their spirits and bring them through whatever trials, tribulations, and afflictions and infirmities that they might be going through at this particular time. Still ask for continued prayers for Ms. Catherine Ma Dukes Robinson, as she's in the midst of recovery for some infirmities that she's going through. Our continued prayers for her, that the Most High will continue to bring her out and strengthen her spirit as she's dealing with her mental issues at this particular time. Continued prayers for Ms. Catherine Ma Dukes Robinson as she's going through what she's going through. And I hope I got the Robinson part right. But if nothing else, Miss Catherine, Bob Dukes. We also want to add to our prayer request, Becky and Darrow, all right, as they're going through some medical things and some health issues, that the Most High might reach out to them and strengthen their spirits as they're going through things that they're going through. Again, that's Becky and Darrow, D-A-R-R-O-W, that the Most High might go ahead and strengthen their spirits and be with them as they're going through trials, tribulations, and infirmities as well. I want to please add the entire Lovett family, my in-laws, father-in-law, mother-in-law, sister-in-law, brother-in-laws, I guess nephews and nieces-in-laws. I'm not laughing at my family, just the in-laws thing that just kind of hit me. My in-laws are going through a lot of health issues right now, all over. Please add them to your prayer request also, that the Most High might strengthen their spirits as they're dealing with many, many health issues at this time as well. That the Most High might strengthen their faith and strengthen their spirits as they're dealing with a lot of issues right now as well. I want to send a prayer request for the sister Anagasha. All right? I want to send a prayer request up for the sister Anagasha, who is going through some health issues at this particular time also. And we pray that the Most High might strengthen her faith and strengthen her spirit as she's dealing with some health issues at this particular time. That the Most High might be with her and guide her and strengthen her faith as she's dealing with health issues at this particular time, the Most High might reach out to her and help her out in what she's going through. And then last but certainly not least of all Israelites, the brother Kazakia. The brother Kazakia's got some back issues. To be a young, active, athletic leader that the brother is, who is going through rehab for his back, not for anything else. For his back, he's really had a lot of back issues that are plaguing him. We want to send a prayer request at Kazakia to the prayer list that the Most High might be with him and bring him through what he's going through and give him some relief from the infirmities that he is suffering from. And then to all Israel, to the 12 tribes worldwide, that the Most High might be with the saints, that he might be with us in these days, that as Christ prophesied, that except these days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened, that we're praying. And we know that the remedy to everything that all Israelites that we're all going through is the awakening of the 144,000 sealed of God, according to Revelation chapter 7, 12,000 from each tribe that are sealed with the knowledge, understanding, and the loyalty of the Most High, that upon that event happening, and we're in the midst of building it now, but upon that finally getting achieved, that's when the Lord God is going to send back the Lord and Savior, the Prince of Peace, the Governor, the Comforter, Emmanuel, the one who named God is with us, who the world knows as Jesus Christ, who in the Paleo Hebrew we call Yahweh Shai, that he will finally come. And as it's prophesied, that when he comes, he will take away all pain, all sickness, all death, all hurt, all pain, all tears. They will find that health and peace will finally be restored back in the earth. So we're praying for that day, that will heal everybody. That will heal the earth. That will heal everybody in the earth. So this is why, again, we produce not only the ISBHBK Bible Talk podcast, but any Hebrew Israelite teachings from street evangelizing to YouTubes to what have you, that all this is done so that we can get that 144,000 showing that faith so that the Most High will finally send his son, Jesus Christ, Yahweh Shai, and bring that healing to the whole entire earth, that he'll save the nation of Israel out of this captivity and from being scattered to the four corners of the earth like we have been, that it was finally have been achieved, our punishment, and that now the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will finally come again. And that will bring the healing for the whole entire planet, animals, nature, forget climate change, global warming, everything will be healed upon the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, brothers and sisters. Thank you for bearing with me through the introductions. I know I got to get them done. I know I got to get the announcements in because I don't want anybody to feel left out. According to Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 1, let me pull that up real quick. Zephaniah chapter 2 verse 1, which reads, "Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass to the shaft, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be here in the day of the Lord's anger." And this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to gather ourselves together. We're trying to come to the same mind, the same judgment. Of having the mind of Christ, that 144,000 that's going to be of that mindset as we go through the afflictions, we go through the turmoils, we go through the tribulations, and remembering, let's get Acts chapter 14, verse 22 real quick. And remembering Acts chapter 14, verse 22, where it does say, "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." that we're going to have to go through much tribulation before the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is going to get here. So we exhort one another. We pray for one another. We remind one another of these scriptures. We remind one another that he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved, that we have to keep enduring. We have to keep pushing through, and that it's required that we, through much tribulation, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Which reminds me of one other scripture I want to pull up. You know, it's, I don't want the exact, search for all. Brooke, I'm sorry, y'all. G-R-E-A, great. G-R-E-A-T, great. T-R-I-B-U-L-A-T-I-O-N, great tribulation. We'll go to Revelation chapter 7, once again, dealing with the sealed. Going to Revelation chapter 7, where it does say, as a reminder, I'm starting verse 13. Revelation chapter 7, verse 13, and it says, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So then with that 144,000 that we're going to have to go there, not even we, those that are of the 144,000 are going to have to go through great tribulation. There's no getting around that. And being true followers of Christ is going to be required that we're going to be persecuted. There's going to be afflictions. There's going to be infirmities, just like what Christ went through. And that it's going to require the 144,000 to take on the mind of Christ, to endure unto the end, the same way Christ had endured the cross, to be an example to his disciples, to his followers, to the believers, that the same way Christ allowed himself to be killed on the cross, be crucified, and that from him, his resolve, that he was going to do the will of the Father. And that's what we're going to touch on today. His resolve that he was going to endure whatever he had to endure for the Most High, for the Lord God, the Creator, that if it required his death, then he died with it. But that if Christ don't lead that example, that to the very end, even if it meant his death, he was going to be loyal to the Lord God, that he was not going to pursue his own will or his own pleasure. And in so doing, he was raised up the third day, that he literally was raised from the dead and given his life to the Most High. And that those who follow Christ, being his true disciples, being his true followers, that they're not afraid of death either. Because the same way Christ rose from the dead and showing his loyalty to the Lord God, that the followers of Christ are not going to be afraid of the tribulation, of the afflictions, of the trials and persecutions that they must endure and getting to the end, that in so doing, that they are guaranteed that crown of life. They are guaranteed that eternal life. They are guaranteed to sit on the throne with Christ. So that's the purpose but that's what we're going to be touching on today. So let me do this. I know everybody's being patient. I appreciate your patience. Let's take a musical intermission. I'm going to take a musical intermission. It did take so long to get a lot of the announcements out the way, and that's just how it's going to be. I'm going to have to go ahead and just accept that doing the announcements is going to be this way. I got to get the announcements in. We're going to do that. I'm going to take a small music intermission. And we're going to come back, and we're going to jump all up in it. Splish, splash, I was taking a bath. I'm going to be baptized in the Word of God, the Word of the Most High, as we're dealing with the topic, the eighth part of our series, or is it, no, it's the ninth part of our series in the Christ, the Passover, and the third subpart of this series, the mind of Christ, dealing with the mind of Christ. Do we have it? So with that, again, quick music intermission. When we come back, we're going to jump all up in this class. All right, here we go. And let's deal with a little bit of ventilation.
What do you think that your shy gon' do? You think that he coming to jump through the hoop? You think that he coming with flowers and roses and rainbows? Homeboy, you are really confused. I'm not gon' lie, I'm just gon' tell you the truth. He gave me this gift, so I'm up in his booth. And I'm venting, I'm sending the message. I pray that you hear, cause these chains are as tight as a noose. These rappers using they platform to talk nonsense to these kids. You wonder why they y'all in prison doing biz. You wonder why these young kids having kids. You wonder why they dealing drugs, getting killed. Perpetuating these ills. You rap about money like it's a big deal. You selling your soul just to get you a deal. It's funny cause the money that you worshiping and nothing gonna be long gone. When you're dead in the grave and your soul gone. Then you waking up in fires and brimstone. And you gassing for air but you can't breathe. You wanna dip out but you can't leave. It's a type of heat that you ain't seen. Only one thing that you gonna need is ventilation.
Dance just a little bit. What we gotta prove already, rich. You can ride a Benz, we got spaceships, big man. Made the main more imminent. Navigating sky five for the non-conformant. Put on a performance. Lights, camera, action. Look at the hysteria. Dress up the set. Now we up in Syria. Thinking we crazy, excited, delirious. I'ma sit and jet, watch the calamity. Synagogues of Satan, yeah, they gotta be godly. Wicked world, so ungodly. Waiting on apocalypse, calculating eclipse. They're finding the signs of the time by the signs in the sky. They skip Jeremiah. Thinking you messing with a putty cat. Putty cat, yeah. But he'll lie.
Talk about CERN. Gonna crank it up a little bit.
Crank it up a little bit.
Crank it up a little bit.
Crank it up.
Just crank it up a little bit.
Prophets are fulfilling. Heathens revealing. What revelation's been foretelling.
I'ma bend just a little bit.
Bend just a little bit.
Bend just a little bit.
Bend just a little bit. Ventilation.
Bend just a little bit.
Bend just a little bit.
Bend just a little bit.
Bend
just a little bit.
Bend
just a little bit.
All right. You're gonna learn today.
Because we know sometimes we gotta just vent. You know, vent just a little bit. Ventilation. Yes. Because we know we got choices. As we're getting back to life, back to the Israelite reality. All right, brothers and sisters, we are back. On Thursday, if you missed our class on Thursday, our podcast we did on Thursday, which you can reach any one of our archives, any one of our shows that we've done. If you log on to www.blogtalkradio.com, www.blogtalkradio.com, and go to the search box, type in Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A. If you go there, it'll pull up our episode guide that goes back to February 10th, 2010, when we first started Blog Talk. And all of our shows are there in chronological order. starting from the latest one we did, going back. And you can go there and click the follow button, and you can keep abreast of whenever a new show is done, that you can be in charge, that you can listen to it. Right? You can listen to it. The Blog Talk Radio schedule, right? The Blog Talk Radio schedule, the ISBHBK Bible Talk podcast schedule is Mondays through Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, Central Standard Time. That's Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then we come back on Friday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. All right, so that is our schedule. We invite anybody to check us out. You can call us at area code 646-668-2568 to listen to the live show, or you can log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A. And when we're doing the live show, live stream, you'll be able to listen. All right, that's one way to get it in. And if not, if you did miss one of the classes, check out our archives at www.blogtalkradio.com, or you can listen to our podcast at iHeartRadio podcast, on iHeartRadio podcast, on Apple iTunes podcast, on Google Podcasts, and even Podcast Addict under ISBHBK Bible Talk to be able to keep up and keep abreast, or even go back and review any of the classes that we've done. All right. So on Thursday, we was going over, again, we're dealing with the mind of Christ. Christ is the Passover. We're dealing with the mind of Christ. And getting into that mindset of actually copying and understanding that when we have the mind of Christ, and which we're going to go further into today, that when it comes to Christ in the Passover, where Christ had said, what the world knows as communion, that the communion was the Passover meal, all right? Communion that you might recognize from going to church, the Baptist church, the Catholic church, what have you, that the communion of the Last Supper, where Christ broke the bread and said, take, eat, this is my body. When Christ took the wine, said, take, drink, all of it, this is my blood, which I'm shedding for you, that was actually the Passover. That was the Israelite high holy day, known as Passover, which commemorated when the Lord God, using Moses, the first time he delivered the Israelites out of captivity, the first time he delivered us, our forefathers, out of slavery, that the Last Supper was, that's what they were commemorating, the Passover, all right, not Easter, but the Passover of the eating of unleavened bread and of the drinking of the wine. And they said, as often as you do this, remember me. Not the communion, but as often as we keep the Passover and remember the Passover, what did Christ do? That on the night of the Passover, he was betrayed. And he knew he was going to be betrayed. And that his trust was violated. He was betrayed with a kiss. Y'all, come on now. That's the relationship he had with the 12 disciples. Judas Iscariot was able to betray him with a kiss, and that all the disciples that he gave spiritual power to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out lepers, to cleanse lepers, cast out demons, that he gave them spiritual power to walk on scorpions and adders and not be hurt, that and giving them, he shared that power with them, and on the night of the crucifixion, it was so intense that they all fled. Keeping with the prophecies of the scriptures, but they all fled. So the feelings of being abandoned, the feelings of being lied about, the feelings of being betrayed, that of trust being violated, an expectation that got let down, of people that you expect that, yeah, y'all supposed to know better. Y'all been with me these 3 years that Christ did his ministry. Y'all been with me. Y'all know what I've been about, and you know that what I'm being lied about. I'm being tortured mercilessly or unmercifully, that I'm going through all this, and y'all abandon me, y'all leave me, y'all dip on me, and to be beaten by the Israelite army soldiers that came from Caiaphas, that he took a beating from them. Then was handed to Pilate. Pilate wouldn't have nothing to do with it. Went to Herod. Herod Didn't want nothing to do with it. Send it back to Pilate. Pilate had him beaten, scourged is the word that's used in the Bible, in hopes that that scourging that Christ took would be enough to satiate the covetousness and the envy of the high priest, of the Israelite high priest. And it wasn't. And the Israelite high priest encouraged the whole crowd, encouraged everybody that was there in Jerusalem at the time to crucify Christ, to have Christ killed, to free Barabbas, and to have Christ crucified. And to go through the things that he went through, and the whole time he did it, he never complained. The whole time he did it, he never complained. And with his last breath, second to last breath, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He wasn't talking about the Roman soldiers. He was talking about the mockery and everything that the Israelites, the Jews, our people, that we were giving to him. That if you're the Christ, jump down off that cross. You heal others, why don't you heal yourself? You know how nasty and how vile we can speak, and how sarcastic and how digging under people's under the skin. We as our people, we know how to talk. We know how to talk to hit that nerve. We know how to talk to incite the rawest of emotions, to get a person to react, to get a person to be desperate. Just talking the most base, raunchiest insults that we could possibly lob at Christ to try and force his hand, to try and force him to now jump off the cross and do something. From you know, like in modern day terms, being what you're a punk, you scared, you a sissy. Prove now, you up there now. Prove now that you're the Christ. And Christ did prove he was the Christ in accepting all that. And with his last words, "Father, forgive them; they know not what they do." And then saying, "It is finished." That he did what God, he accomplished God's will. So that's what we're gonna go into today, and dealing with the mind of Christ, part three. That Christ was giving us his mind of how to deal when you are slandered, when you're lied about, when you're abandoned, when your trust, your love, your loyalty, your friendship has been betrayed. He gave us that. So he said, when you eat the Passover, remember what I did. Remember how I broke myself for you. Remember I shed my blood for you. This is what he did. This is what he did. And for us to remember that as we're following him and actually following him, that we're walking in his footsteps, that as he was betrayed, lied about, slandered, abandoned, his trust was violated, no appreciation shown for the people he healed. You would think for all the people that he healed that one of them would have stood up and said he's innocent. You would think that would have happened. But that mob mentality was so intense, that was struck up by the chief high priest, that was very heavily in league with the Roman government, that knew where their pockets was being filled from their positions that they held with the Romans to be in that position of the high priesthood. They was rolling like fat cats. They was rolling like Don King. They was rolling. I mean, they was the Nino Browns. They was the Pablo Escobars. They was rolling big time. Talk about some bling bling. They had it. And then that Christ was coming back and showing them to be the hypocrites that they were. And that they went ahead and had Christ put to death. All prophesied it had to happen, but he went through that to give an example to us as his followers, as true Christians, how to handle and deal with these type of situations. Let's not forget, brothers and sisters, I feel myself starting to speak kind of quick and fast, so I'm going to slow myself down. But let's not forget 2 Timothy as I pull it up here. Chapter 2 and verse 15. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Let's not forget, brothers and sisters. I'm going to start at verse 1. All right? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, which does read, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also." That the things that Paul learned of Christ, that he taught that to many people. And he's talking to Timothy. So the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, like Timothy, you was among many witnesses. You were in the classes that Paul was teaching, and you was among many witnesses. He said, the thing that you heard about Christ and when we talked to you about Christ, he says, the same commit thou to faithful men, dependable men, who shall be able to teach others also how Christ rode, how Christ dealt with hardness, how Christ dealt with betrayal, how Christ dealt with even his own family. We covered it on Thursday. That even his own family didn't believe in him. That he had, that his brethren did not believe in him. That when he said and taught the disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 through 36, that a man's foes shall be named his own household. That in following the right way, God's way, that is 180 degrees opposite of the world's way, there's going to be some hatred. That Christ said, I came not to send peace in the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. I'm coming to bring division. That I'm who's for the Most High, who isn't. That's what my life's going to be about. That's I'm giving my life for that. That talk it and walk it. Can you talk the talk and can you walk the walk? This is what he did. And in doing that, he showed a lot of people to be fake. He showed a lot of people to be phony. He showed a lot of people to be hypocrites. So in doing so, he said, what Paul is telling Timothy here is the thing that you heard about Christ and you learned about Christ from me, the same commit out of faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Pass this teaching on to others that will be able to teach this also. Verse 3, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Now, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Yahweh Shai. I think I'm getting some text in. Hold on 1 second, y'all. Okay, don't need that one. Cool. All right. Hey, again, if you have any questions, I'm jumping my hands all over the place right now. If you have any questions, you can text me, area code 210-784-8463. Text me. I'm going to tell you now, I am that type of person. If I don't have your number already saved in my contacts, you can call me till you turn blue in the face. I'm not going to pick up. All right? If I don't already have you saved in my contacts, you can call me all day long, and I'm not going to pick the phone up. It's just not going to happen. But if you text me, I ask, please text me your name. And your question, I got no problem starting a dialogue with you. We can start communicating and we can do something like that. But cause I'm not trying to get any nutcases, buffoons, morons that are just, they're just trying to, debate. There's too many brothers, are in the Israelite community that live for that. I'm not one of them. But if you want to have a dialogue or have a question about anything that I might be teaching, please hit me up at area code 210-784-8463. Text me first, or you're going to get mad that you keep calling. I don't pick up. You're going to be angry. And even with that, see, some people on my contact list, you know, you might be calling me, and I'm in one of my low points. I might be going through a little something, and I don't pick up immediately, even if you're already in my contacts. And I've known you for 3 decades. It just might be like that. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, now therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We got to endure the hardness, y'all. That's why he told us in Matthew, that's why we were told by Christ in Matthew 24, that he that is, Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. We have to endure the hardness. We're going to have to endure the hardness the same way Christ had to endure the hardness. And if we walk and we take on his mindset, it can be done. If we're studying Christ, we believe on Christ as the scripture has said, and we take on Christ, we take on his mind. He said, learn of me. I am humble. I am meek. And my burden is easy. Learn of me. If we learn how Christ did things and we follow his steps in the trials, the tribulations, in the rejections, how he stayed in the scriptures, we follow his example, we'll make it through. We will make it through. We shall overcome. All right? So with that, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. And it does read, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." And that's the part I want to get to here in 1 Corinthians 2:16. I wanted to focus more on that last part after the question. But we have the mind of Christ. And with that, my sisters, we really, truly do. We have, like, the Bible is like God's diary. The Bible is like Christ's diary of his thoughts, his heart, his feelings, how he handled things, how his perspective, how he looked at things. We do have the mind of Christ. We really do. Are we going to study and go get it? Are we going to study and go get it? And are we going to study it to where we adopt his mindset? Are we going to really take on Christ? Is our life going to be hid in Christ? It's not about how we feel, what we think, what we put together, our own perceptions, but are we going to put on the mind of Christ? Are we going to study to get inside his head? He left the book here. He left his word here for us to adopt. All right? Now, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, reading from the John Gill commentary. In my classes, I do like to go to a lot of commentaries and reference books, as well as reading, because I'm a very insecure person. Let me go ahead and throw it out there. I'm a very insecure person. I don't deal with rejection well. I really don't. I don't deal with rejection well, and I'm supposed to. But one thing I do is I try and give, from all the studies I do, given the reference books, given the commentaries, so that it's not just me talking, that it's not just Mashaba talking, that it's not just me coming off the top of my head, well, I got this thought, I got this vision, I got this whatever. I want to go back and study to show myself approved unto the Lord. I want to make sure that the steps that I take, the actions that I take, that I'm working on my own salvation with fear and trembling, and that I want help, that we all be saved, right? That we all be saved. But we're not going to do that unless we endure things the same way Christ did endure things. We got to walk in his steps. He tells us, St. John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father but by me." That we have to follow him. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow." That we're following Christ Jesus. We are his sheep. We're the sheep of his pasture, the flock of his pasture. We have to follow him. So it says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord?" From John Gill commentary. It says, "The deep counsels of his heart, the scheme of salvation by Christ Jesus, as drawn in his internal mind, the sense of the Spirit of God in the writings of the Old Testament, the things of the Spirit of God, or the doctrines of grace more clearly revealed under the gospel dispensation. Not only natural man, by the light of truth and strength, not any natural man, by the light of truth and strength of reason, has known any of these things the apostles either cites or alludes to." That we really don't know the mind of Christ. I mean, who has known the mind of the Lord? That, you know, in Proverbs, it asks a question, who has gone up to heaven to seek the Lord or come down from heaven to give us how the Most High thinks or feels or what have you? That's why it was so important to give the prophecy in Isaiah, the 13th chapter, 11th chapter, about Emmanuel, that now God is with us, that this child that was going to be born from this virgin that was prophesied to come, who we know is Jesus Christ, that was going to be God being with us, that we're going to learn how God does things, that God is going to be with us when Christ arrived, when Christ got here, to teach us and give us God's heart, God's mind, the way how things are supposed to be. Because we were blind. We were blind to it. The Israelites were blind to it. Reading over the commentary, says that he may instruct him, that we can't come back and, we're not going to be able to come back and teach God anything. That we're going to come back and we're going to correct God, that God don't know what he's doing, that God doesn't understand how I operate, how my mind thinks, how you got to work with me, how God needs to adjust to us. Malachi 3:16, God said, "I am the Lord God." No, Malachi 3:8. "I am the Lord God. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God don't change. We're the ones got to change. We're the ones who have to change our perspective, our mindsets, how we think, what we think is right. We better come back and rethink it. We have another think coming. We have another thought coming. We got to come back now and get it right. And he left the book here for us. He left his word written down like a message, like a note, like a text, like an email, not Photoshop, but the presentation. He left it for us. I'm using the wrong word, but we have the book here. Are we going to study and go get it? Are we going to study and go get it? We're not going to instruct the Lord on what righteousness is. We're not going to get the Lord God to see things our way, to admit or to see that we're right and the rest of the world is wrong. That's not how this works, brothers and sisters. But we don't have to do it that way. It says, reading on, I want to get you, but we have the mind of Christ. It says, the same with the mind of the Lord, which proves that Christ is the Lord, or Yahweh. And so truly and properly the Messiah, and which is to be understood not only of the apostles and ministers of the gospel, but of all true believers, and therefore want no instruction, as they can have none from the natural man. A natural man can't teach us anything. A natural man is going to go by his own emotions, going to go by his own feelings, going to go by his own personal opinion. That's not going to get us salvation. That's not going to get us closer to the Most High. We have to do things in the mind of Christ. We have to take on the mind of Christ in handling tribulation, sorrows, abandonment, trust being violated. We have to put on the mind of Christ. That only comes through studying. That's only going to come through studying. We have got to study the mind of Christ. And it says, so chiefly of the former, whereby they were abundantly qualified for the further instruction, even of spiritual men. For now, let's go to and dealing with the mind of Christ. This is what I wanted to get to. I know all the other stuff I just read might be confusing, but let me try and iron some of this out and straighten some of this out now. In St. John chapter 6, verse 38, St. John chapter 6, verse 38, where Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that we do have the mind of Christ. So what was the mind of Christ? Before all the mumbo jumbo, even for myself, let's get into what the mind of Christ is, that it's going to be necessary for us to adopt. It's going to be necessary for us to take on dealing with the days that we're living in and that remembering and walking in the name of Jesus, walking and doing things the way Jesus walked. St. John chapter 6, verse 38. John chapter 6 and verse 38, and it reads, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If we're going to get into the mind of Christ and adopt the mind of Christ from his own mouth here in St. John chapter 6, verse 38, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. One thing that we've been taught in this world is that if something happens, it's God's will. And we've taken that and exploded that thought to the most far reaches of wickedness and imagination possible. That we'll take this thing that if it happens to me, that it's got to be of God. So if I commit adultery with another man's wife, and I used the justification, well, it was consensual, and the sex we had was just so marvelous. It was so mind-blowing, earth-shattering, that we had such connection that we must have been long star-crossed lovers, because it was just too the ecstasy that we reached. That can only have been inspired by God. So it must have been God's will for us to meet, for me to have sex with this woman, because it was just too out of this world. No. God still gave us free choice. And Christ has exhibited that here in this statement right here in St. John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This right here also proves that obviously God and Christ are not the same entity. They're not the same person. Because Christ has his own will. Christ had things he wanted to do. Christ had a way that he saw different. But he didn't come to do his own will, but the will of him who sent me. I'm not an eloquent man, but to try to help bring this out, hopefully, in this world, like I said, I use the example of somebody committing adultery. And we'll try and say that that was God's will. No, that's not God's will. That's why he said thou shalt not commit adultery, the sixth commandment. All right? So that's not his will, that this encounter, this entrap, this encounter, this entanglement that takes place, that it was inspired by God. And now, people that would go so far and say, I'm glad that we had this entanglement. I'm glad that I committed adultery. I'm glad I did this, because now after going through this, look at how much closer me and my wife, or me and my husband, have actually gotten, because this thing happened. It had to happen. It was inspired by God that I had to commit adultery. That was from God, because look at how much closer we have actually gotten since this happened. And since this happened, and I've confessed that, yes, I did it, but you were the reason. It was your fault. You was doing this. You was doing that. And I feel so relieved that I could tell you how you made me do this, how you the one who was responsible for this happening. And now getting off my chest, I can relieve the guilt, and now we can move on, and we can actually closer, and we're better for it. Man, get the – No. That is not God's will, right? The will of God would be what? Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's his law. That's his will. We can't come back and try and put this on God like Adam did in the very beginning. When God asked Adam, who told you was naked? First thing Adam threw out was what? Well, first off, God said, who told you was naked? Did you eat of the tree I told you not to eat of? Adam didn't take accountability. The woman you gave me, she caused me to eat. And you got to imagine this. It's they made me do it. So let's look at this for a second. So if Adam is trying to go through the Mosiah, like the woman you gave me, it's really kind of your fault, but the woman you gave me, she made me to eat. So Adam, what did she do? She drugged you? Got you in a semi-conscious state? And if it was an apple, it wasn't no damn apple. But she took the fruit. I'll just say it like that. She took the fruit and she cut it up. And since you were in a semi-conscious state, that your arms and your legs were paralyzed, but you could still move your mouth and still swallow, just because she gave you this drug and you are now paralyzed, she cut some of this fruit, put it in your mouth, and then she manually, mechanically manipulated your jaw into chewing the food, and then she rubbed on your throat like you do a dog's throat and made you swallow. That she made you do it? Come on, man. She made you. No, you chose to. You knew God's will. I'm putting this here. And you know my will. Do not taste it, touch it, handle it. Do not deal with this tree of knowledge of good and evil. You know my will. I told you. I was very plain specific about it. Do not partake in it. What about wind up being the will of Eve and the will of Adam? We're going to partake in it. We're going to choose. We know what you said, God, because even Eve, when the serpent came and enticed her, told the serpent what God said, what God had told Adam, Adam told her. Put it out there. So it wasn't like they didn't know. They knew God's will. But they chose. They chose to do their own will. They chose to follow their own, what seemed good and right to them. It was a choice. But they knew God's will. We pray for those who do make that prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. That people are going to do God's will. We have the not only the Ten Commandments, we have the Torah to know God's will, to know what God wants. We just haven't made the choice to choose to do things the way God wants to. We have not taken on the mind of Christ. As much as people might call themselves Christians and believers because they go to church and they sing gospel music or what have you, but are we doing the will of God? Are we doing our own will? When did Jesus go into the synagogue every Sabbath and was playing the tambourine and running up and down the pew, somebody, I got the Spirit? We don't read about Jesus doing nothing like that. What did Jesus call himself? An Episcopalian, a Seventh-day Adventist, or any religion? He didn't. What if Jesus come back and say, look, the way you're going to honor me or remember me or commemorate what I did is on the third day that I rose from the dead, you're going to get a rabbit that laid eggs called the Easter Bunny. And for the day of my birth, the way you're going to commemorate and remember the day of my birth is a fat white man with Santa Claus. That's not doing God's will. Those things we do, we choose to do things like that. God's will when it comes to eating. God made all the animals, even though now animals are being cloned and all type of monstrosities are being created through hybrid and DNA manipulating. But for the most part, we know God made all life. God made the animal world. And making all life and making the animal world and the fish world and the fowls of the air, God designated, if you choose to eat meat, from what God created in his will, if you choose to eat meat, I will that you eat these type of animals and not these type of animals. Do not, it's God's will, don't eat the scavengers. Don't eat the scavengers. Including pork, crab, shrimp, and lobster. Clams. I seen on TikTok the other day where they literally took the head of a donkey. They took the head of a donkey, boiled it, got all the hair off of it, and made donkey head soup, which ain't no different than somebody making some hog head cheese or hog head soup. My wife told me that down south, Brunswick stew, and I love her Brunswick stew because she does it with chicken. But the original way of doing Brunswick stew is with hog head. You take the hog's head, put it in this stew, boil it, marinate it, do whatever, till the meat literally falls off the skull of a damn hog. And that's how hog head, Brunswick stew is originally made. No different. And somehow we're thinking that we're accomplishing God's will. We don't study and go back and read to get God's will, to do God's will. We read where Christ constantly kept taking the disciples over scriptures, constantly cleaning their minds up and cleaning their heads up, taking them over scriptures, giving them understanding of the scriptures. We read that. Luke 24:45. We read that Christ gave them, then opened he the scriptures and gave them the understanding thereof. That he, this is what he kept doing. As he was facing everything he had to face, as we're going to keep reading, that he kept going back to the scriptures to make sure he was doing God's will. And he was even the example of doing God's will and not his own will. Not what he wanted. Talking about in the name of God. Let's read on. Take my time. Let's do this. St. John 6:38. Again, it reads, "For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." And I'm going to go to the commentary, y'all. And I'm going to tell y'all, too, in case y'all don't know, an excellent Bible study tool that I highly recommend that you get your hands on is the Eastward Bible app. You have to download it from Eastward. Eastward is a free Bible app. If you get to a web page that's trying to charge you for it, or it says ad, leave that alone. Eastward is 100% free. The creators of Eastward hold on to the scripture that says freely you receive, freely give. It's 100% free. Now they do have some premium resources if you choose to pay for it, and they ask for a donation. But Eastward is 100% free. And one of the things I help use in my Bible studies is called the Treasury of Scriptural Knowledge. Let me see if it says the whole thing here. The Treasury of Scriptural Knowledge Enhanced with Self-References. There's so many different things that you can upload or add to your Eastward studies. It's amazing. So I highly recommend it. It does help put things together. You still got to study, but this does help put things together. So I'm in the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. And for St. John again, St. John chapter 6, verse 38, Christ saying, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." Let's reference this. Also back this up with St. John chapter 4, verse 34. Let's back this up with St. John chapter 4, verse 34. And it reads, "Jesus, or Yahweh Shai, saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." If we're trying to keep the concept, and we're going to get into it. I'm going to kind of speed this up a little bit. Into the concept of doing God's will and doing his work. We've gotten to the point where we've been so deceived and our minds have been so put to sleep and distracted. We think that whatever we start, like I said, if it's that man committing adultery, that, well, God put this in my lap. God put this in my way, and God controls everything, so God must want me to talk to this woman. God must want me to deal with her, because if he didn't want me to deal with her, why would he put her in my path? And why would we have such a connection? Why would it be such a magnetic, sparkling connection? Why would I feel like I found my long-lost friend, my long-lost lover, that I've never connected with anybody like this? Yeah, but she's married, but what does it matter? The way I feel, this has got to be of God. And we operate this way, but is that really the will of God? How is it the will of God when God says, thou shalt not commit adultery? That if you look at a woman and lust after her, you committed adultery with her already. That lust, that ain't just talking about a sexual lust. You just desire her. I desire her conversation. I desire, man, just being around her, man. She makes me do better. She makes me better. Was that Neo, old school soul? Not old school, but R&B. She makes me do better. She makes me better. What was that Nelly song? It's all in my head. I can't keep over. I see her over and over again. Over and over again. And it's all in my head. You're right, Nelly. That's all in your head. I'm using some old school stuff. I'm old. I'm using some old school songs. But it's all about adultery. But somehow this is supposed to be of God? This is supposed to be of the Most High? No. So here Christ is repeating or giving us St. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat, meaning what I feed on, what Jesus, Yahweh Shai, feeds on, my meat, is to do the will of him that sent me. That's what's feeding me. That's what's going to take care of me, to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work, what he wants me to do. His will, not my own will. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to see my adultery right now. How easy would it have been? Think about this. Think about this for a second, this example, right? There was a woman of committing adultery. Many say that it was Mary Magdalene because it never gives her by name, but many believe it was Mary Magdalene, that she was a prostitute. That's why she was caught in the midst of adultery. She was a prostitute. The Pharisees brought her to Christ and said, we caught her in the very act. What do you say we should do? That's when Christ said, he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. And then starting at the oldest nigga that was there, oldest brother that was there, they dropped their stones and walked off. Christ said, where are thine accusers? If they not going to condemn you, I'm not going to condemn you. Go and sin no more. Right? Now, let's fast forward to the night of the Last Supper, or a night before the Last Supper. And what do we read about? We read about when the woman came and washed Christ's feet with her tears. And then dried his feet with her hair. To where, you know, the Pharisees, being the snobbish, bougie-ass people, that, and you can tell that it had to be niggas. It had to be our people. It had to be our people. If you know what type of woman this was, you wouldn't be having this touch, man. But you're supposed to be a prophet. You letting her touch you? Just niggas thinking and talking shit. Excuse my language. I'm sorry. But that, you know, and I had to say the N-word so that we can get an idea. Remember, these were all black people. It was us, Jews. It was us acting all super sadiddy and high off the horse and just trying to find another way to condemn Christ. But this woman who was caught in the midst of adultery, she comes submissive. She's crying so much in appreciation for what Christ, that Christ saved her life, gave her to change. He showed that mercy that she came. I've seen people cry before. I've cried before. But to the point where it's enough tears to wash a grown man's, that's a lot of tears, y'all. That it was so many tears in her appreciation, in her repentance. I can see, like, you know, where I drop some tears. Maybe let's say, you know, for me, I'm having a real hard cry, real good hard cry. I got maybe 6-7 tears that will actually drop off my face. My eyes water up, but this is a hard cry. This is that cry that is not going to be seen in public. It could be that cry that I'm back in my closet somewhere underneath my clothes, and I ain't trying to let nobody hear this. I'm done. I might get 6-7 tears that literally drop off my face. Might get a little snot going, a little snot bubble might come up. I'm going through the damn near being asphyxiated, breathing or whatever. I might get about a good 6-7 tears to actually drop off my face. This woman had enough tears drop off her face that she was able to wash Jesus Christ's feet. Now, with my little 6 or 7 tears, you can be able to rub that liquid. You can be able to rub that fluid. You can be able to rub that in. You can be able to rub that in. That will be able to be rubbed into the feet. It's going to evaporate. It's going to evaporate. For this woman to wash Yahawashi's feet with her tears, we got to really put it together. How many times, maybe as a kid or whatever, you cry so much that you get a headache? You had a migraine. What was going on with her that she cried so much that enough tears dropped off her face that she got his feet wet? Feet wet. That she was able to now dry his feet. Feet. Feetsies. If we look at this, is a big job. Feetsies. With her hair? Come on, y'all. Let's be real with this. Let's be real with this. We know about lending that shoulder to cry on. We know about being that type of man that when a woman's going through something, hey, if you need anything, I'm here for you. I'll be that shoulder for you to cry on. That's a shoulder. And we know that connection of this woman feeling so vulnerable that she's crying on my shoulder, and I got my arm around her, hugging her, holding her, and we're close. And come on, your head's on my shoulder. Your lips ain't that far away from my lips. It's just a turn and a lean. That this woman is vulnerable. We know about this. We've seen it in the movies. And many niggas probably did it. Maybe women probably, it happened to them also. The point I want to get to that is how vulnerable is a woman when she's crying on your shoulder. So how vulnerable was, if it was Mary Magdalene, if it was Mary Magdalene, how vulnerable was she that she cried so much that she washed Christ's feet with her tears and then dried his feet with her hair? And then rubbed the some of the most expensive alabaster oil of the day? Into his feet? That level of vulnerability to be crying like that, dry his feet with her hair, and then massage his feet with that type of oil? Come on, I'm not the only one here that can only imagine what the hell that must have felt like. How how much oxytocin must have been flowing in those moments? How much testosterone and adrenaline? How many hormones where we got ignited behind something like this, that this person is trying to show you this level of appreciation. You crying and rubbing, and come on, y'all. But Christ didn't do his will. You know, that scenario about Mary Magdalene crying over Christ's feet that way and doing that, you know, that some people believe that the Holy Grail from that moment is that Christ was married and that he married. This is the teaching, y'all, believe it or not, that the Holy Grail ain't the actual cup of the Last Supper, that the Holy Grail is actually Christ married Mary Magdalene. That's why she was one of the first ones that seen him after he resurrected. That there was a level of intimacy between him and Mary Magdalene. They actually got married and had kids. That's what some people believe the Holy Grail is. The Holy Grail is not nowhere in the scriptures. It's nowhere in the Bible. But I guess to imagine and think about that level of intimacy, of vulnerability that was taking place at that time, what man would not fall for that? Christ didn't. He was without sin. And again, I'm only relaying this right now and trying to get an understanding that it'd be easy for Christ to take the natural man. I'm a man. I'm a man, damn it. I'm a man. But he didn't. His meat. What fed him was to do the will of the Father. To do things the way the Most High wants things, and to do God's will, thou should not commit adultery. And I'm only using this for the example of what kind of emotions, what kind of feelings, what kind of hormones might have been caressing and going through their bodies, but Christ didn't fall for that. He didn't take on this mentality of, or justification, I'm a man, damn it. He didn't take on that mentality or that justification. His meat, what he ate, what he fed on, was to make sure he did God's will, not his own will. How much study was Christ doing to go back and look at how Solomon got carried off and catering to his own will with all the women Solomon dealt with? David going back and committing adultery and murder and conspiracy with Bathsheba dealing with Uriah's wife. Going and looking back throughout the history of the Israelites, see how men, going back to Adam, gave in to their lust to do their own will and not do the will of the Father. To have all those examples to feed off of, how much was he studying? To go back and look at Joseph in Egypt, that when Potiphar's wife, remember he got sold into Egypt by his brothers, instead of doing his own will, catering to his own bitterness, anger, depression, that when he was offered to sleep with Potiphar's wife, she was throwing it at him, he still turned her down, said no. Which got him thrown in prison? To have these type of examples. The example of Reuben. You slept with your father's concubine? I might have to go back and study about which one it was, but damn, nigga. How much study was Christ doing and seeing how there's the very few examples of we're going to do God's will? And not our own will. And try and come back like Adam did, blame it on God. Blame it on the alcohol. No. That's not what Christ fed on. What would you do? hey, if this woman came present herself like this and she knows she was fine, she, I can only imagine, I'm gonna take it here. If she was a prostitute, she must have been stacked. I'm gonna take it there. I'm gonna push the envelope there. She must have been stacked. And she's coming and presenting herself this way, this humble, this vulnerable. But Christ didn't feed his own will. He didn't feed his own ego. St. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I'm not going to feed my ego. I'm not going to feed my will. I'm going to feed the will of the Father. And I'm going to finish the work he gave. I'm going to finish that work, which is not to do as I please or what pleases me. I'm not going to do that. And how much more pleasure can a man get than come on, sex? It says he was tempted in all points in Hebrews. Christ was tempted in all points like as we were, but it is yet without sin. Let's go to St. John chapter 5, verse 30. Let's read St. John chapter 5, verse 30. And this again, words of Christ in red. St. John chapter 5, verse 30. If we understand Christ came not to do his own will. He said, I came down, St. John 6, 38, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. St. John 4, 35, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and not, and to finish his work. St. John chapter 5, verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. I can't do what I want. I know a lot of us twist this scripture that, well, I committed adultery because God wanted me to. No. St. John 5 and 30. I can of my own self do nothing. He's laying it out. I can't do what I want. There's things Christ wanted to do. He said, I can't do what I want. I can't of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. When I hear the Most High's opinion, when I hear the Most High's word, that's the judgment. That's how God judges. So what I hear, I judge. I know a lot of us want to take this thing on about, no, how I put it together, how it comes to me, is how and how I put my own spin to it. And we use the scripture, you're using it wrong. I can't of my own self do nothing. He's making a statement. I can't do my own will. No, I can't do what I want to do. Why would Paul come back and say so many times in the New Testament he's a prisoner? He's a prisoner. He's so, can a prisoner just do what the hell they want to do? No, you're a prisoner. A soldier does what? Takes orders. So if we consider those things, Christ is saying what right here? I can of my own self do nothing. I know a lot of us think that we'll use this type of script. We use the scripture for, look, first off, yeah, I won this Grammy. I have to get all these tattoos from head to toe. The Bible says not to get print any marks upon you. But I went and got, I got my eyeballs. I got tattoos on my eyeballs. I've covered my skin in so much ink that now I have to use fluorescent ink that glows in the dark. Otherwise, you won't be able to see the damn thing. And I talk about nothing but adultery, murder, robbing, and boasting. Everything God hates, but that's what I've developed my career on. And I've got these fake breasts, fake fake ass, fake lips. I'm a slut. I'm a whore. I'm an adulterer, adulteress. Yeah. And I got this Grammy. I got this award. And if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here. It was only by the will of God that I've been able to achieve this type of success. That this is God's will. Get G-T-F-O-H. In the ancient Hebrew paleo word, la-ah. Hail to the north. St. John chapter 5, verse 30. I can't of my own self nothing. If it's some crummy telling, he's making a statement. I can't just do what I want to do. Not if I came down here to do the will of my Father, and if my meat is to do his will, I can't do what I want to do. As I hear, I judge. I want to do this, but God's judgment says do this. So I hear, I judge. So that becomes my opinion. This is what the book said. This is what I heard. I'm doing what God says, not my own will, not my own self. And my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will. I'm not seeking to do it my way. This ain't no Elvis, Frank Sinatra, Bobby Brown, my prerogative. I did it my way. No. And my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. I'm not here for me, is what Christ is saying. I can't do what I want. This is what Christ is saying. I got to do what the Most High wants. This is when we start to take on the mind of Christ. I can't do what I want. As I hear, I judge. My opinion becomes what I hear. My opinion is God's opinion. God says not commit adultery, then I'm not going to commit adultery. I don't care how fine she is. I don't care what kind of connection we got. I don't care how magnetic and how magical this attraction is. Christ said, no, I'm not going to do my own will. I hear. What did I hear? What the Israelites hear? The sixth commandment, thou should not commit adultery. I believe it's six. I might have it wrong. But we know one of the sixth commandments, thou should not commit adultery. Thou should not covet thy neighbor's wife. Done. I hear, I judge. That's the right judgment. That's my opinion. I'm going to judge it the same way God judges it. That is wrong. Brothers and sisters, let's go to the book of Psalms. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 40, verse 7. We're going to Psalms chapter 40, verses 7 and 8. Now, most times when we hear Psalms chapter 40, verse 7, we only get one point out of it. The only point we usually go to Psalms chapter 40, verse 7 is where it says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. And we usually match this with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. And to show, we use this scripture here, along with Hebrews 10 and 7, to prove that Christ came in the Old Testament and New Testament. That is written in, that you need the volume of the book. You need the Old Testament, New Testament, and the Apocrypha. And we'll stop right there, and we'll move on with whatever point you were still trying to prove or make. But let's keep reading. Let's keep reading verse 8. Again, verse 7 of Psalm chapter 40, verse 7 says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. Well, true enough, it's written about Christ. To do what? Verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. So what's written? Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do what? Not my will, God's will. God's law, God's way of doing things, God's judgment, God's opinion. David said, I've written this in my heart. It's prophesied, yes, Christ comes in the volume of the book, that in every situation to do God's will. Not my own will, not my own mind. What I came up with is right, correct, feels good. It feels good. Yeah, it feels good. Show looks good to me. Some 20-20-20? No. It's written in the volume of the book to do what? God's will. It's written in the volume of the book to do God's will. It's written in the volume of the book to do God's way. Follow his law. Follow the way he does things. His judgment. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. Oh, not yet. That's a good one too, but I gotta make sure I fit this right. Ain't that much time. You know, let me hit this up. Let's get Romans chapter 15, verse 3. We covered this in part 2 or part 1, but let's get Romans chapter 15, verse 3 once again. Romans chapter 15, verse 3, and it says, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So, again, we see Christ pleased not himself. It wasn't about his will or made him feel good or what have you. It was about doing the will of the Father. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. I was made in the likeness of men. So what did Christ do? Made himself of no reputation. It wasn't about making sure he was recognized, that he put it together. He did this. It was his words. It was how he did it. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. I'm such an insecure piece of flesh. I got to make sure everybody sees that I did it. I got to make sure my name is on it. I got to make sure that you recognize it was me. It was me. It was me. Damn, this ain't, that mentality is not Christ. It says, but made himself, talking about Christ, Jesus, Yahweh Shai, but made himself of no reputation. It had nothing to do with him. That it's got to be recognized, I put this together. I did this. Me. How many niggas be getting mad because they feel they don't get the recognition? Get mad that I built this. If y'all remember the movie New Jack City, that Nino Brown, or that Al Pacino, I put this together. Me. I did this. And y'all ain't going to recognize that I'm the one who put this together. I did this. Y'all niggas, King Kong ain't got nothing on me. Come on, man. You tripping. You're tripping if you call yourself an Israel. You call yourself that you're following Christ, but you got to make sure your name is on every damn thing. You got to make sure you're getting recognized. You insecure, poor brother or sister. Who raised you? Where did you learn that from Christ? Verse 8, and being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Christ humbled himself to death, to not do his will, to not please himself. He made his pleasure whatever God wants, whatever you like. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Though he were a son, talking about Christ, and he's the son of God. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Even Christ had to learn obedience from the things that he suffered, not doing his will, not seeking his own pleasure. All right, brothers, we will reach a two-hour mark for this show. I just got the notice that, yeah, we got about 60 seconds left. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I'm going to continue this class tomorrow. Right? I'm going to continue this class tomorrow. We're going to keep chipping at it and going at it. Yeah. Yeah, I like where we are right now. I like this spot where we are right now. So with that, brothers and sisters, I'm going to end this show right now. I'm in this show for today. I'm going to ask that you check out, today being Monday, ISBHBK San Antonio, which does have the YouTube class going on tonight starting at 7. I'm going to ask you to check out ISBHBK on YouTube, the San Antonio class. Now, this class is being held in Norfolk and for sure also, and Houston. I'm sorry. It's ISBHBK Houston tonight on YouTube and ISBHBK San Antonio. Please check out either one for the visual, another two-hour class. You help get bathed and washed. And hear more of the Spirit, hear more of the Scriptures, and chipping out at this filthiness and pollution that we've been corrupted by, that we might now be cleansed, and that we are really, truly following and giving more and more, feeding our spirit. That the words of Christ speaks unto us, they are spirit and they are life. Feeding that life into us that we can endure. Feeding that life into us that we're doing things the right way when we follow Christ. That it's not about my will, not about my feelings, not about my opinion, but in just truly following Christ, all right? The same way Christ followed the Most High and not doing his own will, not doing his own thing. Again, so with that, brothers and sisters, thank you all for tuning in. And please check out ISBHBK either San Antonio or ISBHBK Houston tonight, tonight being Monday, May 1st. And again, we have in just 2 weeks, 2 weeks, the 14th, we do have the second Passover, and then the May 21st at the EO Pure Therapy Event Center located in Rolling Oaks Mall, we do have the wedding exchanges of vows between the brother Ariel Charlemont and his wife Kalaya. So with that, thank you everybody for tuning in. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and say, Shalom.